Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, Channel 88.1 FM, KFHC Ponca Sioux City, and KOIA Storm Lake. We are so glad that you take time out of your busy schedule to listen to our program, Faith in Action. And I'm your host for the show, Joanne Fox. Again, thanks so very much. Especially a big shout out to the sponsor of this show, Mary's Choice, a pregnancy resource center here in Sioux City that does so much to help women and men who are faced with an unplanned pregnancy. And they have done such great work, and can't thank them enough for their willingness to sponsor this program and bring it to you. Because, as you know, we have a lot of interesting stuff that we present on the program. And as you well know, again, this show is pretty much about me and my friends. And I was lucky enough to stumble across a longtime collaborator in the media field with me. Sister Elizabeth Mary Burns is the former administrator of back in the good old days when St. Joe Hospital and St. Vincent Hospital merged into Marion Health Center at that time. And when I was at the Globe for the Catholic Globe newspaper for the Diocese of Sioux City for almost 25 years, our paths crossed a lot. And much to my surprise, another mutual friend of mine, Mary McCarthy, who happens to be the niece of the priest who hired me at the Catholic Globe, Father Al Grendler, emails me every once in a while, and she emailed me this delightful story that appeared in National Catholic Reporter and was written by my friend, Sister Elizabeth Mary Burns, and it talked about in her retirement years, and Sister is now 95, that she has been writing obituaries for the other Sisters of Mercy who have passed on, and she's written about 125 of these. And I was so touched, and I had all of these wonderful memories just wash over me of my time in the journalism business and her time at Marion and then Mercy, that I reached out to her. And I loved that when I called her, she said, "Well, I'm not sure how this is interesting to your listeners." And I said, "Trust me, this is interesting." So I have on the phone with me from Ohio, Sister Elizabeth Mary Burns. Welcome to the program, Sister.
Well, thank you.
And listeners may not remember because you've been gone from this community for a while. So I'd like you to share with the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, and then we got to get into your choice of the vocation to the religious life. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, let me see. I was born and raised in Estherville, Iowa, a member of St. Patrick's Parish there. And I felt I had a vocation to religious life. And so a year after I left high school, I went to Detroit and joined the Sisters of Mercy. Now, of course, my parents said, "If you ever want to come home, you know you always can." But I pretty much knew that's where I was going to be. And in 1949, I was assigned to go to St. Joe's in Sioux City to learn how to be a nurse. And so I graduated from the School of Nursing in 1952 and was assigned to our hospital in Dubuque. So I was there, and then I came back to St. Joe's in Sioux City for a year or so, then went on to finish my bachelor's degree, and I just got finished with that and thought, good, I can go back to Sioux City. Well, I got a call that said, "Sister, we'd like you to go ahead and get your master's degree," which I did, and then I was assigned to come back to Sioux City, where I was director of the School of Nursing for about 5 years, and I enjoyed that very much. It was great to work with those young women who were coming in from all around Sioux City, and they were so motivated. They're just wonderful kids, and of course now they're probably almost as old as I am. But anyway, they were most enjoyable. And then I got another call from the mother house saying they wanted me to come to Detroit and be in charge of the baccalaureate program in nursing there at Mercy College. So I did that, and in the process, I was there for 10 years, and during that time, I went to school in New York City, and I thought, what's this? I have a girl doing at Columbia University, but anyway, there I was. And I did earn my doctorate, which was very important for the college to have people who had proper degrees in order for the program to be accredited. And, of course, while I was in New York, I truly did enjoy some of the lovely cultural events. But I came back, and after the 10 years were over at Mercy College, I was elected to serve on the leadership team for the community. And during the 4 years that I was in that capacity, we developed what was then called the Sisters of Mercy Health Corporation, which was and eventually the mother of Trinity Health. But I enjoyed that work, and during that time, part of my work was with the hospitals that we sponsored, and we were working with St. Vincent's and St. Joe's to merge. Well, when I finished my term in Detroit, I chose then to come to Sioux City and be the administrator of what we then called Marion Health Center. We didn't know what else to call it, so we decided Marion was a good thing because it reflected women, and after all, women were the ones who really got this thing going. So we called it Marion Health Center, and I was there for 10 years. And it took a year off. I was getting kind of tired, you know, from all this. And after that, I went back to Detroit and worked with the community for another 10 years, after which time it seemed like it might be a good idea to start retiring. And so I gave my attention to working with boards at the local hospitals and helping in that way. And during that time, I also thought it would be a good idea if somebody would write something or a history of the Sisters of Mercy in healthcare in the Detroit province. And so I did. What I thought was a monologue turned out to be a book. And the book is called Beyond Measure, and it reflects the efforts of the Sisters of Mercy to bring comfort and care to the people in the numerous hospitals that we had. So I enjoyed doing that, and I found out that, you know, I really enjoy writing very much. I had done some ever since I was a youngster. I liked it, but I didn't have time to do anything, you know, that was just, for the fun of it. But, yeah, it was for the fun of it. And so that's what I did, and gradually I kind of retired and stepped back, and I've written a couple of articles for the National Catholic Reporter. The first one was about my nephew, Brian, who died at a rather young age, and NCR has a column called Soul Seeing, well, how we see the beauty in other people, and of course, Brian was so special, and then I thought, well, okay. So a few years ago, after I'd written these obituaries, I should say, I succeeded someone in writing obituaries, someone who has, I don't know, maybe close to a doctorate in English. And, you know, writing was not my field, but I said, sure, I'll try it. Well, it went on for 25 years. And during that time, I wrote the life stories of probably 125 women. And I got to know them quite well. It was a very interesting, I mean, it's kind of sad in some ways, but, you know, I didn't know a lot of these women because I never necessarily lived with them. And so I got a stack of information about where they were born and where their parents were and so forth and so on. but I needed to find out something more about them as who they were. And so I had a great deal of fun doing that. Everybody loved me. They said, oh, we like what you wrote. Oh, that's great. They kept encouraging me, maybe because nobody else wanted to do it. I don't know.
Possibly.
But, I did enjoy writing. But, you know, it was funny. When I was doing the last one, I just had the same sense about it as I'd had about some other things I had done. You know, this is the last one. It's time for me to move on to something else, or whatever that might be. And so that's how you got that article, because Mary's brother gave her a subscription to this book, this
to magazine. National Catholic Reporter.
Every month or so. Anyway, she read it, and she said, oh, my gosh, I know her. So then she sends it to her brother, and then she calls me, and apparently she contacted you. So here we are, and I think I hit all the major bases.
You did, and it's so fascinating, you know, when we have this circle of life that, we were in each other's lives when I was a reporter and you were an administrator, and now, some 30-some plus years later, now we've come full circle and we get to continue interacting with each other. I want to back up just a bit, because I always find vocation stories so interesting, and you said you felt a calling to the vocation, to the religious life, but it's interesting, you know, we really didn't have any Mercy Sisters up in the Estherville area that I recall, and maybe I'm misinformed. Were they at, wasn't it Holy Family Hospital years and years ago up in Estherville?
No, excuse me, they were not. When I first thought I wanted to be a sister, I wasn't sure which kind, you know.
Sure.
And we had sisters from La Crosse, Franciscan sisters, who came and taught us catechism every summer. And they were the first sisters I'd ever met. And I wasn't really sure I wanted to join with them, but I also was encouraged by our local pastor to talk with the sisters at Holy Family Hospital. And I did that, and I decided that it was not for me. I'm of Irish heritage, and they prayed all their prayers in German.
Oh.
I just thought, I don't think I can do that. Well, then it turned out that a good friend of my mother's was a Sister of Mercy, and she came home every summer for a visit with her family. And I talked with her, and I thought, you know, this probably, I think, is the best one for me. So then I wrote to the Mother House in Detroit, and they accepted me. And so in 1946, which is, 75 years ago, I got on a train with a sister who had been visiting her family out in Iowa. And so I got on this train, and I thought, well, here I go. And I've never been across the Mississippi River, so I guess I'll look out and see what it looks like. Well, anyway, it happened that we passed over the Mississippi during the middle of the night, and I was in the upper bunk of a train, you know, so I didn't see the Mississippi for some years. But coming to Detroit was a great experience. I mean, I was overwhelmed with all the different things there were. And, of course, our novitiate was very strict. We could only have visitors once or twice a year and that kind of thing. And my dear mother and father drove all the way out to Detroit one summer to visit with me. And when I look back and think of it, there was no air conditioning in cars at that time. And it must have been a really rough trip for them. But they wanted to come and see where I lived, you know.
Yes.
What was going on with me. So they did. And, of course, when I was assigned to go to go to Sioux City to be a nurse, I got to see them a little more often than that. So it was quite, you know, I felt it was the right thing for me to do. It wasn't always easy. I mean, you know, it's a lot of changes and things were different at that time. But I knew that it was a mission. It was a sense of being together with a group of women who all had a goal in mind, and that was to take care of people who were sick, who were poor. You know, it was the right fit for me. Of course, there were some people, young women, who joined the community when I did, and they left because it wasn't right for them. So that's kind of how it was. I'm very happy with my present living. I'm living in Fremont, Ohio, which is a small, rather small town, about 20 miles south of Toledo. And I had planned that I would finish my days in Michigan, because that's where we had our retirement center. But as the years went on and there were fewer of us, we decided it was not right for us to keep that large property for so few people. Like, there were about maybe 30 people of sisters that lived there. But that really was not enough for, say, a 25, 30-acre piece of property. So we agreed to sell it, and it really meant we all had to move. And so I decided that this would be the best place for me. In between, I did go to an assisted living place called White Lake, and not because it was on Elizabeth Lake Road, but because it was closer to where I had lived.
Sure.
And I was there for about a year and a half, and I really loved the people there. But, you know, it wasn't the type of living that I'm used to, where we could get together for prayers, where we had Mass every day, you know. And so I said, well, I guess the best thing for me, and all my friends kept urging me to do this, they said, you really would like it down in Fremont. So I thought, well, okay, you know, I guess I can move. So I did, and I'm very happy that I did. I'm just so sorry that it's not closer to some of the people I know. But a number of the sisters had already moved down here, so there are probably about 10 of us who did live in Detroit who are now down in Fremont. So we're quite happy with it, and everybody here has been very warm, very welcoming. It's a lovely place, and we do have Mass just about every day, and we have our meals together and lovely rooms and place to walk and so forth. So it's good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Hmm?
I'm very glad to hear that it is going so well. I just want to remind the listeners, in case they just might have tuned in right now, they should have been tuning in at the top of the hour to hear my show. Again, this is Faith in Action, and it is a locally produced program here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, and I'm the host, Joanne Fox. And if you listen to the show, you know that I bring on many guests who I somehow have a relationship with, and that's why my guest is Sister Elizabeth Mary Burns, who is a Sister of Mercy with the Sisters out of Detroit, although right now she's living in Ohio in a very nice community, and a native of Estherville, which is really nice. I wondered, Sister Elizabeth, do you have any extended family left in Northwest Iowa or the Estherville area?
Oh, yes. My sister Mary belongs to the parish in Milford. And she and her family have a big farming operation, probably about, I think she was 7 or 8 miles east of, almost directly east of St. Joseph's Church there. Okay. And I've been there a number of times in the summer when I would come out to visit and spend a week or so with her. And she had 6 children, and they're all grown up and married and have children whose children are having children, you know, so she has a very extended family there. And, of course, my mother came from Emmitsburg, which is my father used to call it Little Ireland. And,
true.
My mother came from a family of 12, most of whom settled around there. So I had maybe 50 cousins at one time. And so, yeah, I'm, I really a product of Northwest Iowa for sure. And
then you mentioned, you know, that you were attracted to the Sisters of Mercy because they wanted to help people with their physical health, emotional health, psychological help. You know, they were in healthcare big time. Were you always kind of interested in that kind of work? You know, I think back to myself, and truly, I was always interested in writing. And so journalism was a natural segue for me. But I wondered for you if you had always been interested in the field of nursing and healthcare.
Well, not necessarily. I planned to enter the nursing field when I graduated from high school. But I think the major reason I wanted to go was because my very best friend and my cousin were all going to St. Joe's in Sioux City. And I told myself that, you know, I really don't think I want to be a nurse. And so I'm not going to go and make a pretense of it. So I stayed home and worked for a year. But when I was assigned to become a nurse, well, I thought, I'm not sure I can do this. But as I got into it a little more, I said, yeah, you know, I can, and I love it, and I love the people, and it was the right thing for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, when you join a community, you do go where you're needed, you know. I promise to do it, to go where I'm sent, so to speak. I think most religious orders are that way. So not everybody who wanted to be a teacher was necessarily a teacher. And you know, I've done some teaching a little bit as I went along because of being with students in schools of nursing. But I don't know. I might have been a terrible teacher. I don't know. So God saved me from, and the students, you know, from some horrible things. But anyhow.
No, I know what you're saying. I do. I taught for about 15 years at Western Iowa Tech Community College here in Sioux City, and I mostly taught writing and journalism, and yeah, I still see students in the community. I always assure them that they did well in my class, even if they didn't. I knew just from their status in the community that they had done well, and that's
yeah.
kind of affirming, but I'm sure I had a few duds probably along the
yeah.
way. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the time that you spent with the merger of St. Joe and St. Vincent. And anybody who has lived in this community of Sioux City or Siouxland for their bulk of their lives know that that was somewhat of a contentious time. What I remember specifically was, of course, that St. Vincent was what I would call in the downtown area, and St. Joseph was on the, well, now today, near north side of Sioux City. And so the decision was made to come downtown, and there was a lot of brushback from businesses who saw a loss of the tax base. I remember that being featured over and over. And I just remember how you would address that so professionally. But I would love it, Sister Elizabeth, if you could share with the listeners some of the challenges that went along with the merger of St. Joe, St. Vincent into Marion Health Center.
Well, let me say that the sisters of the sponsored St. Vincent's, anyway, they were ready to move on. They only had the one hospital, and that was in Sioux City. And they decided that was really not part of their gift, as I think they're Benedictine sisters. Anyway, they were a small group. They only had my 10 or 12 members all together. And so it was their wish, after we had done a study, that the two hospitals should merge. And
the sisters at St. Vincent, remind me, they were Benedictine?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. A small Benedictine community. And they decided that their charism was to be, you know, in sort of like a monastic type living rather than being in hospitals and schools and stuff. So they moved their headquarters out to someplace in Wisconsin, and they were very happy that we were willing to move into. So with the blessing of both of the communities, it was okay, but it was not easy to merge the two hospitals because each of them had a special way of doing things, you know. And in a sense, it was like in holy competition, but not really. It was just difficult because you had to have your medical staff group were difficult to merge because you had two sets of radiologists, two sets of pathologists, and within the hospital you also had two people in charge of dietary, two people in charge of nursing, two people, well, of all things. So you had to decide you're only going to have one staff, and how do you go about it? And so I did get someone who was a psychologist to come in and work with us, all of us, to say, how are we going to do this? And they were very, very helpful, even though some of them, their jobs were threatened in the process. And that's how we came up with a staff that could run the hospital then. But it was not easy. And it really didn't become one until we built the building in the downtown area. Now, why did we do that? Because St. Joe's was getting out of, I was out of energy. I don't want to say that. But anyway, they were moving into a large cardiology department, which required a good bit of backup and electricity and all kinds of stuff. So the inner structure of St. Joe's was really in a downturn, and they had been looking at some time for a different location if they didn't do a total reconstruction. So it was time for St. Joe's to do something. We looked at St. Vincent's, and it was the newer of the structures, and it was closer to downtown, which would serve the people better and not be stuck up on the north part of town, so to speak. And so that was the decision. Now, I know it didn't agree with a lot of people, but it was the right way to go at that time. And I think the structure has served well. But now it is, 35, 45 years later.
At least.
And, yeah, it was in 1977 that I went out there, And so it's time to think about the usefulness of the present structure, and I'm sure they're doing that. We don't have the great need for inpatients that we did at one time. You know, when we merged the two hospitals, St. Vincent's was a 200-bed, St. Joe's was a 300-bed hospital. And, you know, along about that time came this whole thing about the DRGs, and people couldn't stay in the hospital as long as they used to, and all those things. So all the beds that you thought you needed were not needed. And yet, all the equipment you had was there for more patients than needed. So we had to do a lot of downsizing, getting things in order. And by the time 10 years had passed, I felt like I had done as much as I could do.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's time sometimes to get new new persons, new blood, so forth. I felt I did a good job while I was there. I made some awfully good friends. I know I made a few enemies, but I don't know. You don't do things like that because you're trying to make friends. You're trying to do it because it's right.
Very true.
And, you're not always right. Sometimes you're wrong, but you think you're right. And, you know, so we did the very best we could. And, you know, it's interesting to me. Just recently I found out that my right-hand man, Andy Allen, lives only about 100 miles away from where I am now in Fremont. So we're going to get together one of these days and reminisce a bit about all that we went through.
That's great.
I've kind of kept up with Andy all these years and with Pat Walsh and some of the others that were there. John Smoll. And mm-hmm. So,
I love this name dropping that we're doing because those names resonate with me as well. And one of the things I remember was you were visible down there when St. Vincent, St. Joe merged into Marion Health Center. And listeners, that is now Mercy One Siouxland. I better say what the right name is nowadays. But I'm a product of my growing up in Sioux City, so it will probably always be St. Vincent. And then I'll kind of do Marion Health. Oh, yes. Mercy One Siouxland. I remember you being visible in the halls. I can remember for some reason, you know, because I'm writing stories about stuff going on at the hospital. I remember seeing you in the halls, and I always thought that was wonderful because it kind of showed to me that you were interested in the staff, the patients, whoever. Kind of a hands-on administrator. And I always liked that about you. And I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only one that thought that because now, and you're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that you were one of those winners of the Dr. George Spellman Award. Am I right on that one?
That's right. That's right. I was.
Okay.
Several years ago. I can't remember what year it was. But anyway, yes, I was very honored to be named for that. I really was. And a number of my family came, and it was a great, great celebration. I just love Sioux City. I mean, because I was there so many different times, you know, as a student nurse, as a director of nursing, as the administrator. And then some years later, I came back as a member of the board. And I enjoyed seeing it grow and hear what was happening and so forth. And I know it's had its ups and downs, as we all do, but I, from what I know, it's doing fine. And I haven't met the administrator that's there right now, but I'm sure she's doing very well. And
well, she's just about ready to move on to, as they say, another opportunity. Beth Hughes, who's the CEO, just announced that she was moving elsewhere, and that's fine. We understand in this day and age that, you know, there are other places that might be just as good a fit. So I think they're in the process right now of searching for another CEO. But as I've had such connections with the hospital, and I still do, because we here at Siouxland Catholic Radio do collaborate with the hospital and do stories on the new programs they have or something that's of interest to the listeners. So it's fun to still stay connected, though perhaps positions are filled by different individuals. There's still that whole charism of Mother Catherine.
No, because my one sister lived in Ottawa, I used to stop at St. Joe's or at Marion in the summertime once in a while and say hello to folks. But my sister died about a year ago. She developed ovarian cancer. And she got the best of care, but it just wasn't enough, you know.
I know.
So I still have connections with her family down in Ottawa, too. So, and we have a lot of Sisters of Mercy in Omaha.
Yes.
So there's a great connection there, too. So, anyway.
Let's segue into the obituary writing, because having been in the field of journalism, and by the way, listeners, if you're just tuning in, again, this show is Faith in Action, and I'm your host, Joanne Fox, and on the phone with me from Ohio is Sister Elizabeth Mary Burns, the former administrator of what was St. Joe, St. Vincent Hospitals here in Sioux City, and then ultimately Marion Health Center in Sioux City, and of course now is Mercy One, Siouxland. But what kind of intrigued me about what Sister is now doing in her retirement years is she is writing, or has been writing, obituaries for members of the community. And I think that's just so fascinating. We have kind of a joke in the news business that if you're the obituary writer, that's kind of a dead-end job. Da-da-da-da. And I'll be keeping my day job, you know, after that bad joke. But how is it that you were approached by somebody who said, gee, we really need somebody to write some of these obituaries. We think you're a good fit. You got your bachelor's degree, you got your master's degree, you got your doctorate degree. How about you write some obituaries, Sister Elizabeth? And what was your response?
Well, none of those degrees had anything to do with with writing, although I did take a couple of creative writing classes along the way. But as I said earlier, I have always enjoyed writing. And during my more professional life, I had to do a lot of writing, but they were had to do with the healthcare field itself. So it was only after I retired that I began to work with documents, and that's when I learned that's how I came about writing a book about the Sisters of Mercy, which everyone thought was just very well written, and they gave me all kinds of accolades on that.
And so that book was Beyond Measure, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, it was. It's about 10 years old now, something like that. Anyway, but I thoroughly enjoyed doing that, and I think people knew that. And so when I was asked to fill in, I said, sure, I'll try it. And then it just got to be that whenever somebody died, they would just call me, and I would get it. So I actually enjoyed getting to know these people. As I indicated earlier, I did not know a lot of them because the community is fairly large, you know, and I was busy doing my thing and they were busy doing their thing. But then I would find sisters who knew them and could tell me more about them and what kinds of things they enjoyed doing and that sort of thing. And as you know, in the writing of individuals, many of people I wrote about were composites, you know, and there wasn't anybody there with a real name for fear of reprisal. But I did pick up a little bit about this one and that one, another one, and just kind of put some of them together, because the whole purpose of writing the article was not so much to tell about individuals as much as it was to talk about how you see the goodness in other people after they're gone. You know, sometimes you don't realize how dedicated they were or what pains they went through or what happiness they had unless you knew somebody that knew them. And even then, you didn't always know. So it was just a wonderful experience, and I never resented doing it. I enjoyed doing it. I'd wonder if people would like somebody else to do it. Oh, no, they liked me to do it. So as I say, I enjoyed it. But when it came to toward the end of writing them, the last one I wrote, I just had this feeling that, you know, I don't think I should write these anymore. I think somebody else should take them on. So I did have a backup writer, And I said, Maureen, how would you like to do this now? Oh, sure, she said, I'll be glad to do it. So anyway, it worked out. And she does a very nice job, and I'm happy. And she, like I said, she has her background in English.
Okay. And so you did these for about 25 years, I think the article said?
Yes, I did it for about 25 years, right. And it was an enjoyable thing to do in that sense. And at that time, many of the sisters were stationed in and around Detroit, and so I would get to know about the people by saying, did you know Sister So-and-so? Oh, yes, yes. And so then they would tell me something, and I'd try to put it together so that it was a way of seeing this person in a way that maybe we hadn't seen her before, or it reinforced how we had seen her. But I just thought it was great. But, you know, now I think any writing I do from here on, I think I'm going to write about living people. See if I can find a few around. Tell something about them, you know, because there are a lot of them. Some of them here, the sisters I joined here, they're originally from what we call the Cincinnati province, like we were the Detroit province. And they all have wonderful histories. And I'm learning about a number of people, you know, that I never had met before. And so it's a privilege to be here. As far as my own health is concerned, I am quite incapacitated because my legs don't work the way I like them to.
Sure.
So I use a walker all the time, and but I get around very well. And last summer I came out to Iowa, where we have the annual Brennan reunion up at Lake Okoboji, and all the relatives, my mother's family, get there if they possibly can. And so my brother, who lives in Boston, and his son and son's wife flew into Detroit, and I met them at the airport, and they rented a big SUV, and we drove the rest of the way out to Northwest Iowa, visit all the family, turned around, came back, and had a wonderful time. So I can travel, but I don't feel like I want to travel a lot anymore. You know, I mean, I'm 95, and hey, life does catch up with you.
Oh,
it
certainly does. One of the questions I'm always asked as a journalist and a reporter and an editor and a writer is what story or thing I wrote about really resonated with me. And so I ask that of you. In these obituaries, I wouldn't say, you know, what resonated, but maybe what surprised you that you learned about one of the sisters that you wrote about that it kind of, you thought to yourself, wow, that is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, one that struck me very much was the one who was quite well known as a leader, and yet we didn't really know her. She shouldn't say embarrassed, but she was very shy about talking about all the places she had been and all the people she had met and the wonderful things she had experienced. She wanted to share them with people, but she felt like it would be like bragging, you know. And many of the sisters, I don't know that they would have minded that she told us, but she was afraid that they would think she's just bragging about all the stuff she got to do. And here I was, you know, teaching school and correcting papers and all that stuff. Now, I can't say that any of them thought that, but I think she was afraid that they would. And so she never talked about all the places she went and all the people she met. Or after she retired, how she loved to cook and how she loved to sit and play a game of cards or whatever. So she retirement gave her an opportunity to sort of relax and be herself, you know. And so I enjoyed writing about her and several others, too. But I think that the article I got into the most was the one I wrote about my nephew, Brian,
sure.
because I got to know him so well from many, many ways. But among the obituaries, yeah, I was very drawn to several of them. And I could have picked out a lot more, but I was afraid it would be getting kind of boring. So I think I had four or five that were there. And then I wanted to bring out, you know, among all of them, how we see the goodness in other people. And I think we don't see it as much when they're alive as after they're gone. So it's good to reflect on it, you know. So that, I think that would just about say all I could about it, you know. As I say, I started out thinking, how can I do this? I ended up actually enjoying it. And now I'm thinking I'm looking for something that I might want to write now. I'm not sure. Do you know how something you have to wait till something happens to make you feel good about it?
Yes.
Or that you want to put down? It's like, well, I guess it's like that with artists, too. You find something you want to paint or you don't. And it is one of the things I took up in my retirement was learning to do watercolor, which was fascinating. And I haven't picked up on it since I came here, but I probably will, you know. And between that, I can spend a lot of time reading and prayer time. And I'm also helping a sister that I know very well with reading. I read to her almost every day because she is completely blind at this point. And she and I entered the convent together. And so we've known each other for 75 years, and she has completely lost her sight. And so we try to share scripture and things with her every day. And she's so grateful because she really can't find her way around very well. And so that's someone we can sit back and look at some good things. If anybody, whoever's writing her obituary, asks me, I could tell them a lot of good things about her.
Well, that begs the question, doesn't it? Who is writing your obituary?
Well, I don't know. maybe Sister Maureen will, but let's see what she says.
Yeah.
I'll look down and say, hey, I didn't do that. No.
Wait a minute. I'm the editor here. I didn't do that.
No.
Well,
I've had a lot of fun along the way. And I enjoyed my work, like in Sioux City and all that, but I always made sure I took a couple of weeks off at a time. You can't unwind in 1 week. You have to have at least two, you know. And
mm-hmm.
So I've always enjoyed. I've taken fairly good care of what I needed, so I think that's been part of how I've gotten through life. And anyway, so. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Yeah, this has been delightful and quite
a few insights.
Yes, you have. And as the listeners know, that probably brings to a close another edition of Faith in Action. And I, again, am so pleased in this circle of life that has brought Sister Elizabeth Mary Burns, a Sister of Mercy with the Detroit Province, right?
Yes.
She was willing to come on the show and share with me her time as the administrator when St. Joseph and St. Vincent hospitals merged into, at that time, Marion Health Center, and now today, Mercy One Siouxland, and your connection to Northwest Iowa, Estherville native. And I should again mention that you are an alum of St. Joseph's School of Nursing, and I know we have a lot of listeners who are, and we have a lot of listeners who somehow worked at one of those hospitals. So it has been such a treat. And at 95, you sound just like I remember you when I was walking up and down the halls looking for stories at the hospital. So again, Sister Elizabeth, thank you so very much for sharing all these insights. It has been an absolute delight.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I just learned how to use FaceTime, but I decided not to do it with you today.
And I'm grateful for that, because I'm kind of in my casual look today. No makeup and not hair done, but that's what I've always said. I have a face for radio. So, okay. Again, listeners,
all right.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's just been a delight to have this interview. And I want to, again, give a big shout-out to the sponsor of our program, Mary's Choice Pregnancy Resource Center here in Sioux City, Iowa, that does such wonderful work with men and women who are faced with an unplanned pregnancy or some other challenges. God bless all the work they do. So that wraps up another segment of Faith in Action. And again, I'm your host for this show, Joanne Fox. And on behalf of my executive producer, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you listeners that a faithful reaction, if I can get that out, can be good. But faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening, and God bless.